Every team, every topic, everywhere. This is Believe.
It's not a world of men.
I want you to be a man.
You could just be a man in this one moment.
I gotta be a man.
Be a man.
It's be a man time.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Am I supposed to be a man?
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
Be a man.
You can act like a man.
Be a man.
Are you a chance taker?
I am a little bit.
I'm a gambler, kid. Give me those dice.
Yeah, I'm not a gambler. You know, with money and stuff, I'm kind of conservative, but a lot of times I'll take
stupid chances.
Yeah.
I've lived life haphazardly and on the edge without a lot of thought. I'm amazed I made it this far. Are you amazed you made it this far?
Yes and no. It was kind of a solitary, nice life until Be a Man started. Now it's different.
I was reckless. I had no eye for the future, no thoughts of what I was going to do. It was day by day. People were doing this, doing that. I was an actor with no safety net. Basically in Boston, too, back in the day when there was really not much going on.
One last time.
I was like, yeah. I said, 5 years, where am I going to be? I said, I don't know. Whatever.
How about when you go out with a broad with baggage? That's taking a chance.
Yeah, you want to think that the baggage is going to get swept underneath the fucking bed or whatever, but it comes out.
You got like exes, or you got crazy kids, or, you know, they got fucking money problems or whatever.
Yeah. Or like taking a chance, like assuming that they're normal and being like, oh, I'll give this broad a chance. And then you just.
I haven't met a normal one yet.
It's like when you adopt, you take it. That's taking a chance.
Oh, yeah. Jesus Christ.
Who wants a normal broad? That'd be boring, though.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh. How about you adopt a kid? I'm such a dirty fighter. The kid acts up. The first thing I'd say was, I'm so sorry I adopted you. Talk about hitting below the fucking belt, right?
So your new ones or your old ones?
No. I only have original kids. I don't adopt kids.
Yeah.
I only have my kids.
No, I know, but you never said that.
No, because it doesn't apply. No. You know what I mean?
Oh, but some people say that to the kids, even if it's their biological kids. No, some people say it to just say, make the kids calm down or whatever.
I know.
You're adopted.
I definitely know people that have said that to the kids.
I think that's been said to me.
Yeah. You're adopted, you know.
Right. Or the black sheep kid goes, I'm the adopted one in the family. I'm different. I'm Marilyn fucking Monster. They portray me as abnormal. I'm the only normal one. You know what I mean?
Mm.
How about taking a chance, something like even a fucking restaurant? When I take chances like that, those always go wrong for me. The big life chances, I fucking land on my feet somehow. It may not be great, but I'm okay.
Yeah.
But when I take a chance at this restaurant, that usually doesn't work well for me.
It's like, I'm going to go for the Clams Casino. You made the wrong fucking choice.
If I go into a place and it's like sketchy like that, I'll stick with the staples like a fucking burger. You can't fuck up a burger or a steak, right?
Yeah, that's true.
I'll keep it plain and simple.
You got to be careful.
You know?
You know what I mean?
But sometimes, you know, you have a fucking buzz going in. You're fucking, you know, you're feeling fast and loose, playing with the house's money. Oh, I'll get fucking, you know, I'll get the fucking Haddock New Brunswick. And fucking it just like fucking
just
destroys
your
life.
Just the thought of that at some shitty restaurants turns my stomach. You know?
I don't go out to eat that much. I want to count on the thing I'm having that I love it.
Yeah.
Right? I don't want to take a fucking chance on that. But I have, though.
Yeah, because, I mean, it's a gamble. Like, even if you order your favorite thing and you're at a different restaurant, you don't know if they're going to make it good.
Yeah.
You know? It's
I'm very fussy about my Italian food, too. So, even in the North End, there's a couple of places I go to. It's like, it's fucking very average.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, most of it's
some places are great in there, too.
Yeah. How about if you let the fucking waiter talk you into one of the specials and you even go, well, that's it. You've convinced me. I'll have that. What was that number two again? That special?
That's taking a chance.
And then you go, okay, then you've sold me. And you, how is it? He goes, oh, it's really, really good. Did you get it? It sucks. What do you do then?
Yeah. So, your recommendation sucks.
Do you fight him? Do you not leave him a tip? Go, by the way, what you recommended sucked. Yeah. I'm very unhappy.
Service sucks. You suck.
But if it pays off, it's like you almost, it like it releases endorphins. Like, I fucking took a chance on the fucking, on the New Brunswick and it paid off.
Right.
If I'm in an Italian restaurant, I don't want an Irish girl saying, oh yeah, this place's good.
You know what's happening?
Because they don't know good food.
It's true.
You know?
One time, you know, somebody said, I go, how's this place? Lady goes, well, it must be good because all the Italians come here. I went, I know it sucks now. I'm leaving immediately. I swear to God.
If you go to, like, when I go to New York, you see wherever the Asian people
you
are.
You
want to
see them in there.
Yeah, you know it's good.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I went to Feng Shui the other night in Burlington.
Yeah.
Looked around, there was a fucking bunch of Asians in there. Went, all right, then.
Was that in the mall?
You know that other mall that looks like the mall? Oh, yeah. Fucking adjacent in down back, the road, whatever the fuck it is
mall,
over there.
A mall road?
Yeah. They're Kohl's and all that.
Yeah, stuck them
there somewhere over that area. Yep. Yeah, Press Cafe, I should say.
Yep.
Nice joint, classy.
Mm-hmm.
Went with Big Joe Ligotti. We got fucking sushi for six people.
Really?
But it was only the two of us.
I miss the big, gaudy fucking Chinese restaurants. How about that place, Weilu's, that was in Saugus?
Yeah, that place was great while it lasted.
Dude, it was like, I feel like going there as a kid, I'm like, I'm in big trouble in Little China right now. Oh, like, it seemed like you were in a palace.
You were a kid when that was, was that long ago? It's been, you remember that place, right?
Oh, yeah.
That place was like fucking the Taj Mahal of Chinese
restaurants.
He
was like the fucking emperor that went down. He went too big almost, right?
Yeah, what happened? Because they had the place in Salem.
Right.
That was great.
They crumbled.
Yeah, no,
well, they upgraded and was that happens a lot.
He made a fucking monument to his own self.
Oh yeah, there was some shady shit going on there.
Well, the place on Route 1, Vic's, the Italian restaurant, they went big, and it didn't work out. Now they're back small again.
I love seeing someone go big and fucking going out of business. I love it. You? Does that make me an asshole?
That happens all the time. You have a good place and they fucking, the food's not as good as they kind
of fucking Aussie man
before the overhead or whatever.
Right? Yeah, that's, I mean, and as a restaurant, that's like taking a chance, you know, doing a second location, doing other locations in different places, and it's like something, it doesn't work out. It's a coin flip.
That guy, you know what's great about that place? Seeing it in ruins for years before they tore it down.
They finally tear it down?
Yeah, you remember it was there like in disrepair and all fucked up? Fucking, you go, this place.
Try and buy this fucking gutters are hanging off your shit.
It was like an abandoned amusement park.
Right, it was once a grand place with marble foyer.
The thing about Chinese, I'd say more than any other food, it's like, you really are taking a chance if you're going to a place that you've never been to before. It's like things that are your staples, you can order, and they can be completely different.
White rice, dark rice.
A totally different crab rangoon, and it fucking throws off your whole fucking order.
But what about when you go with a Chinese girl, and they fucking say, here, try this, and some fucking, it's like goat's intestines or something.
Yeah, you say, no, I want American Chinese food.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We don't need that stuff. Well, you go,
like,
I know.
Just like when you go to Italy, they don't have like a lot of Italian dishes here.
They
spawned here.
Fucking spawned.
Yeah, I want American tacos.
Warren Spawn.
Fucking minutia.
Right.
I want American tacos and fucking like, I feel like if you go to a place that's like authentic Mexican and like that's what you like is white people tacos, you're definitely taking a chance.
I go to Mexico. I want the guy to come out with a fucking sombrero, like he's a real fucking Pancho Villa. That's what I want. Otherwise, it's not Mexican enough.
I'm not a big Mexican guy.
No,
no.
That's I love it, but you know something when
I
break it down.
I like chili.
I don't really go that much to it.
On the border.
Yeah, all that. Yeah, this place is up there great, but it's not in the rotation.
I'm definitely not trying to stereotype here, but it seems to me like a lot of Italians don't like Mexican.
So fucking, it's just a thing.
Yeah.
What, if I go out to here and get Mexican, I'm Italian. I get better food. What, you know, right? Something like that.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely take fucking
Spanish
Italian
food
over
is good,
Mexican.
Though.
Yeah, it depends on what type of Spanish.
But like our buddy Joey in Fort Lauderdale.
Oh, yeah. He has, like, the real, like, from Spain cuisine.
Oh, like Spaniard food.
Oh, Spaniard food.
Fish on rice and stuff
fucking unbelievable.
Oh, that's a whole different ballgame.
Yeah.
That's the next level.
Oh, yeah. He does, like, a fucking crazy stuffed veal chop.
Nice.
I got it once, and it blew my tits off.
Like a tapatia?
Yeah. Whatever you want. And whatever you want. Like, he'll make it meatballs or whatever. You know, whatever you want to get. But the Spanish food is great.
Yeah.
A lot of fish.
I like it.
Yeah.
All those countries like the fish, Greece, Italy.
They live longer than us.
You can't go wrong there in that region.
Asians love fish, salmon.
They do.
Yeah.
But, you know, I never really, the only food I really go out for is like a fast food or a Chinese food for takeout and shit like that, right?
Yeah. I mean,
do you?
Yeah, I really don't. I mean, when's the last time you had a roast beef?
2 weeks ago.
Oh. Do you get the one down the street still?
I go there. They know me, that lady.
Oh, you still go there?
Nice.
She goes, how are you? Down? You filming? I go, yep. I'm doing the Be a Man show. Oh, wow.
like that. Yeah, I've been craving a good fucking roast beef.
They have a nice
thick
beef.
One like this.
Yeah.
Yeah, fucking dripping with shit.
You think the fucking broad all the time going in is you give me a couple extra slices?
No.
Yeah. You know what I mean? When I'm like this? Come on, shave off a couple of more pieces. I'm a semi-regular. What
my,
the fuck,
my three-way roast beef is mustard, onions, and pickles.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow, I don't like anything on it.
Well done.
Well done?
Yeah.
Oh, no.
I need red. There's a lot of hardcore beefers that would strongly disagree with that.
Well, too bad. It's my business.
Yeah, it's your personal
Do you eat well-done steak?
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, do you order it well-done?
I don't like the blood. I don't like seeing blood in the plate.
Or like De Niro said in Raging Bull, honey, come on. You cook it too much, it defeats its own purpose. Doesn't it defeat its own purpose?
I don't know.
Where's all the fucking nutrients go? If they're cooked out, do you lose them?
Does it happen if you cook it too much?
I believe so.
I feel it does.
And they say like that you're cooking all the flavor out of it, too. So like I do medium. I do like a hard medium.
I'll do a medium.
I'm not doing medium rare. Like,
I just don't want to see blood in the plate.
No. Yeah.
You know,
I do a medium rare, but some people's definition of medium rare is a little different. You go, that's too medium rare.
Yeah.
But if they get it just right, I can live with it. But I've come to say, give it to me medium. That's it.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Is it blood in the plate?
Sometimes a little bit.
Yeah.
Not a puddle. Yeah. I don't like it touching the potatoes or whatever. Yeah. I don't want to see any discoloration.
If it touches a piece of bread.
Yeah.
It's fucking.
Oh, when you get blood in the potatoes, that's fucking awful.
Yeah, as long as everything stays in its own area.
Yeah.
If I want to mix it, that's fucking up to me to do.
That's your God-given right as a fucking American.
Saying there's string beans, potatoes, you go, hey, come here, watch this. And you fucking kind of mix it together.
Now
that's
your thing.
Fucking my call.
You made that.
I don't want to see it running downhill. Go, look at this. The fucking blood's heading for the potatoes. I got to stop it. How am I going to stop this?
Yeah. I agree. Potatoes, bread. Ugh.
I ski.
Yeah.
Nah.
I just hate the sight of it.
Yeah, no, that's not a good look, is it?
No.
But I do like a rare meat, though. You know what I mean? Yeah. Rare, medium, rare, nice. Not little. When you eat it, there's a little blood.
I get those like half-pound burgers. I throw on the Tofoma grill. And it's fucking...
You cook
break them open. No red. Love it.
You cook the balls right off it, huh?
Yeah.
No juice, nothing. Like cardboard?
No, I throw mustard, onions, and pickles on it.
So you disguise it. You lube it up with that. You lube it up.
Well, a lot of people now do the smash burger thing, where you take, like, the meatball, you put it on, like, a fucking Blackstone or something like that.
Oh, right.
And you fucking smash it down with the grill press, and it's fucking, like, thin, like McDonald's.
That's
thing.
The way to go.
Oh, yeah.
That's ideal.
That's good because
it's crisp.
And everything is cooked evenly throughout.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it's... Yeah, that's the way to go. Like the Five Guys style.
The fats are good for you now. You want that fat.
It's a good fat.
The foreman would run the fat off.
Yeah.
But now they're going, the fat's good. Eat the fat.
Yeah.
That's the best part.
You get your fats and macros in, micros, all that shit.
The foreman has a little fucking pitch, you know?
That's bullshit. I could have invented that. That wasn't so fucking high tech.
No.
If I wanted to think of something like that, I could have. Could you have?
Well, I cooked one of those burgers the other day, right? And I left the foreman grill out. Came back the next day, I looked in the little tray, it was like fucking caked with fucking fat.
Yeah, that would have been around your fucking aorta.
Yeah, exactly.
I knew a guy that lived at the YMCA that used to cook grilled cheeses on an iron.
I've heard of that.
Prison food.
Yeah.
I did that when I was in the joint, you know.
Iron grilled cheese?
Nothing like a good grilled cheese.
Ah, classic.
Yeah. You know, fucking grilled cheese. My wife made grilled cheese with a homemade tomato soup the other day. I had a boner and a half. I go, this is fucking perfection.
Especially in the winter, right?
When it's like that, I'm talking gourmet fucking level grilled cheese. Not fucking bullshit grilled cheese.
Because the art of the grilled cheese is not how you prepare it. It's how you handle it afterwards. Because if you just slap it on fucking one of those plates like we were talking about, a paper plate, and it has a certain type of film, it'll fucking get rid of it. All the crispiness is gone.
You're making me hungry.
You can't kill the crispiness. You have to. It's going to be laid on a fucking nice folded paper towel.
I'll do like a ham and cheese with tomato and mustard grilled cheese.
Nice.
Yeah. You're going mustard on the grilled cheese?
Yeah.
Hot mustard, huh?
Yeah, a little mustard. Little Goldens, yeah.
You don't use Wonder Bread, do you?
No.
You got to use a nice bread.
No. I use Scally bread.
Nice Scally's good, or a nice fucking Panera tomato and basil.
Italian toast.
Goes good with the grilled cheese.
Yeah.
I love Italian toast. I used to go downstairs and do six slices. Cut it in half.
Yeah.
right?
Yeah.
6-7 pieces, oh, whatever.
Yeah. Swap on a bunch of fucking butter, let it melt right in.
Oozing with fucking butter. That's how we grew up. You know what I don't like? You got to really time it. If one of the pieces gets, say you're doing a 2-3 level stack of toast, you can't let anything cool off.
No. No. You do it.
That butter's got to be melted in 100% by the time you get upstairs in bed with it. And it's got to have some warmth to it still.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's got to be warm and crispy.
My wife, you know, she's a great fucking cook, but she'll give you a cold toast.
Oh, yeah.
I go, just you know, fuck with you? I go, I don't understand what all you do, all the great cooking. How do you not understand that you've presented me more than once with cold toast?
Isn't that fucked up? Everything else is hot, like the bacon.
My wife, everything perfect. Fucking cook and a half. Yeah. Every day, something good. But so when there's bacon and eggs involved, I go, fucking toast is ice cold.
Yeah, it throws off the whole.
And you don't want to complain, but I can't help it.
Yeah, yeah.
I go, so how is it? I go, the toast is cold. Well, make it yourself. Right?
That's what you get.
Sometimes I bite my fucking tongue. I go, am I going to complain about the cold toast again?
Yeah, because if you bite your tongue, it's going to prevent a big argument. Right?
Yeah.
Sometimes you just don't need it.
Sometimes you can't help it. How about if you go, the toast is cold. Second later, the dog's shitting the floor over here. Two valid things to beef about.
Yeah.
But you're labeled as a fucking insurrectionist.
Well, and you're taking a chance by doing it.
You complain about the toast after you eat.
Yeah, I could say the thing right now, but.
I love to fucking slap that toast around a sunny side. I can fucking laugh.
You're one of those guys?
Toast and it's firm and it's not like the way it's. You can't do it.
No.
It throws off the whole fucking thing.
What did I get the other day? Buffalo sliced chicken. I got.
That's fun.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Fucking farted for days.
Oh, nice. Did you enjoy smelling them? Really nice?
Yeah, it smelled like low tide.
Did you go like do a nice Dutch oven in your bed?
I was with a girl.
Did you rip them in front of her?
Yeah.
How'd she take it?
I'm always, that smell, she's like, no. I really don't suppose it did.
Yeah, of course it did. She just accepted it.
Yeah.
Oh, that's a good sign.
That is a good sign.
And she held my penis.
My farts are so bad, I can't imagine any person not acknowledging the horrific stench in the area.
Yeah.
But I'm at the point now, too. Well, like, me and you are the same, John. Like, I give myself a cup of soup all the time. And
you want to see what it smells like.
I think it's the greatest fucking smell really in the world. And it entertains me to no fucking end.
Isn't it unbelievable?
You can cup it and throw it at someone. Throw it in someone's face if you want.
Isn't hand it, grenade.
It's just truly amazing. Like, you feel it coming on. You go, ooh, I'm going to stick my hand on my pants and capture this one and smell it because it gives me fucking a second and a half of euphoria.
But it's a strategic move to smell your fart because if it doesn't smell, you know shit's not coming. But if it smells, a good chance you're going to have to take a shit.
Yeah, you know a fucking storm is on the horizon.
Yeah.
Hey, listen, if we weren't meant to do it, human beings wouldn't do it. Here we are, two guys. We do it. You do it, be a man.
Yeah.
Yeah. Of course.
Of course.
Be a man. Experience.
Drive fast and take chances. How do you guys do behind the wheel? Do you feel like you sometimes do a lot of moves where you're fucking taking a risk, or do you fucking play
the older I get, right? The less the reflexes are, right?
Yeah.
It's like, and all of a sudden you see cars are like up on you. All of a sudden you're like, holy shit.
You know, it's weird. You go from 80% being like fucking grandpa in the right lane, just not in a hurry, to randomly going in the left lane doing 90 for about 2 minutes. Then you go, what the fuck? What am I doing? What do I care? Let me get back over there. But I will have these little outbursts.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Where I can't take it if I'm behind some fucking person going too slow.
I was going 80 on 128 the other day at night, right? And this fucking asshole's up my ass. It's like, oh, a fucking asshole. So I pull over to the right, use my directionals to Stadies.
Nice.
They didn't pull me over.
Yeah, they do that, don't they?
Ah,
but they were on a hurry. They were like, you know, going. They didn't have their flashes on, but they probably going to barracks or whatever. They just. Too cold to pull someone over.
You fucking know? Pull people
I wouldn't,
over.
If I was a cop, I wouldn't be pulling people over.
I'm never pulling
unless
anybody over.
Unless it was like someone really bad shit face, but. I wouldn't be busting balls.
Like in Amherst, where I live, that's all they really do.
They
if you're a cop, that's your job, is basically to pull people over.
It's just routine traffic stops.
If you don't pull people over, you have no function as a cop up there, pretty much. You know, once in a while, there may be a couple of murders. No, there's not even murders. There's nothing.
Yeah.
Do you realize you're going 50 and a 30? What the fuck do you want now?
But one of the biggest chances you can take behind the wheel, of course, is drinking and driving. Taking that fucking chance.
Went out of style
and,
for us
guys. Some people do it, I guess, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, I'm fucking very conscious about doing it. I do it a lot, but I don't want to. I'm stupid. I fell asleep. I told you I was driving back from Delaware.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, you fell asleep by the wheel.
I fell asleep in the wheel. The rumble strip woke me up.
Oh, that's
funny. In Newark.
Oh, yeah.
The rumble. Thank God for that fucking rumble strip.
I know.
Yeah,
I mean, dude. That's like a couple of close calls. I had the other one was when I had my my camper.
Yeah,
I fell asleep on
92. Oh, that
would have
been fucking bad.
I told you that one.
Yeah. That would have been disastrous. Yeah. Was it a towed camper or was it like a Winnebago?
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Then going sideways. Yeah.
Imagine
it was
going...
when I woke up, a guy beeped at me on the left and woke me up. This was like 3 o'clock on a Sunday afternoon.
So you have blackouts, I think. Can you still need to take naps in the car? You sleep
like
a lot,
when
you pull
I get,
over?
Yeah, when I drive when I'm too tired, I shouldn't.
Is this a pattern?
I tell you, I mean, I don't know what it is. I have a couple of crucifixes in the car and stuff. I think God's my co-pilot.
With a seatbelt?
Yeah, on the highway I do.
Yeah, I know. See, us old timers, I got to struggle every time. Go, should I put it on?
Yeah, sometimes I do, sometimes. But usually in the highway, I'll throw it on.
Ever not put it on, you go, I don't want to jinx myself. I've gone this far with it. No. Watch me put it on and get hit by a fucking semi.
Yeah. Once I get to a certain point, like if I'm like a minute and a half in and fucking I've gone through the first like two rounds of beeping, I'm like, fuck it. I'm going the whole way.
Yeah, because, you know, when you're bopping around town, if you get hit, it's not going to be that bad.
Yeah.
It could be disastrous.
You got to count on the other fucking person doing the right thing.
That's my big chance.
I mean, I've taken a lot of chances in my fucking day on the road.
Yeah.
So, you know, came out the other end intact by miracle a few times.
Yeah, I've totaled a couple of cars. I got away with both times. I can't get out of my mind.
I try to instill in myself yet to drive, but listen, I want to start driving instructions when he'll be 14. I go, I wanted to start when he was 9.
Yeah.
Classroom sessions. Mm. Just so you know, there's too much to fucking know.
Yeah, there is.
A lot.
No, there is.
But like that adrenaline rush that you get when you fucking get out of a bad situation that you fucking took a chance with, it's fucking, there's nothing like it. Mm. And that's why you get people that fucking just do it all the time because they secretly, they love the rush of, you know, breaking the law, you're doing something you're not supposed to do.
You know when you're going onto a highway, that fucking merge, I came fucking barreling out of the fucking ninth turn not long ago. The sun was in my eye. I was like this. Guy coming this way. If he wasn't alert, it would have fucking done damage to us both. He beeped at me and fucking went up my ass yelling. When he finally passed me, went, he did the arms.
I'm so stupid. Oh, yeah.
And what did the guy say?
He goes, oh, my God. Sorry. And I was. I go, oh, my God. I go, I couldn't believe I made that mistake.
Yeah.
I just barreled right. I mean, I was barreling. Like going through a stop sign almost.
Well, I was on 128 last night going 128 south, and some asshole by the Peabody Mall pulled out fucking 20 miles an hour. Merged on. I was in the right-hand lane. So I gave him the high beams and beep, so he stopped. Right, so I beeped and went by. So then he's chasing me, comes after me. I fucking hit the brakes.
Chase.
He fucking jammed the brakes on. He's giving me the high beams. So then I grabbed my baseball bat.
Were ready.
I brandished it, and then he pulled off. Then he went Route 1 North.
Really?
He went off to
Things
Route 1
getting
North.
Heavy.
Oh, it happens a lot with me.
When you start brandishing weapons.
Right. You don't want him. You brandish the bat. He brandishes his fucking Glock.
Well, I know. I mean,
yeah,
it's stupid.
Yeah, that's...
Nowadays, right?
Yeah.
Be a man kills in road rage.
I haven't had any kind of, except for that incident, I was mea culpa with that dude. I have no road rage with anybody.
Yeah, me neither.
I have a lot.
Do you?
Unfortunately.
I don't have any.
Yeah.
Because
I'm always like behind or what? I'm impatient.
I mean, I'm impatient.
Like my mother said when I was, what my mother says now is like, you know, when you were little, I didn't know any better. I would have put you on medicine.
It's never too late, you know. It's never too late.
I would have put you on medicine.
Yeah, I didn't know any better back then. I mean, if I did, I would have put you on medicine.
Yeah, back then the medicines were primitive.
Yeah.
Now you get your nice Prozacs and all that shit.
But that's when, that's when you said, like, if somebody was fucked up, they're like, oh, yeah, he's on medication.
Yeah,
he's
right.
On medicine.
Well, 60 years ago, 50 years ago, what the hell was the meds like?
Fucking electroshock therapy.
Cut your brain out.
cocaine. Right. Got a toothache, Johnny?
Well, if you do something fucked up, people go, you know, I guess you didn't take your medication today, huh? Fuck you!
Have you ever been with a broad that's not on medication?
Yeah.
Really?
The two broads, no, really? No medication, zero. God. None of them. But I was, though.
You never caused them to go on medication?
Did I ever cause it?
You never caused a girl to go on medication?
Never.
Well, according to them, they're on medication because of me.
Do you say that's your weakness and an excuse? I like saying a guy going, I'm an alcoholic because of you. I don't buy it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Be accountable.
Exactly. Yeah. You can't say that to somebody. I'm on fucking Zoloft because of you. You go like this. Good. I hope you go on fucking heroin next.
That's the only way you can respond to that. Like, I'm on medication. I'm doing this because of you.
I don't sleep, so the doctor said there's something he wanted to put me on.
I forget what it was.
It was like a Zoloft or something.
That's my shit.
It serves as like helping you sleep as well as the chemical imbalances.
I tried all that stuff in the past.
Doesn't work?
Not the works. Oh. I tried it 30 years ago. People think they're on the cutting edge. I go, I fucking did that 30 years ago.
I was in the test group.
I go, this shit's been around forever. And you know something? None of it works.
Yeah.
As far as I'm concerned.
Mm-hmm.
I never noticed it. You ever take any?
No.
I tried Zoloft. I tried Prozac.
I took Klonopins like after I stopped
it's
chewing.
A sedative. I take those.
Yeah, after I stopped chewing tobacco because I was like fucking.
I like to call it tobacco.
Tobacco.
Those people call it tobacco. Yeah. I say piano, Colorado.
I like tobacco.
Tobacco's good.
They told me the amount of tobacco I was chewing was the equivalent nicotine wise as 5 packs of cigarettes.
That's sick. Fucking awesome. Yeah. I love that about you.
Yeah. So when I got off it, I was like fucking.
Were you shaking like a leaf?
Yeah.
Were you spitting all over the place? You have a spittoon?
Even though I didn't have it, I still thought I was chewing, so I was spitting all the time.
When did you stop that?
Probably over 25, 30 years ago.
When they showed those people pictures with no face because you chewed tobacco, his whole fucking did you go, did that scare you? Or you go, not me, though?
A lot of, like, Tony Gwynn, the baseball player, died of that.
It's right.
Mouth cancer.
Yeah.
I think a couple of guys.
But you know something? You would think more would have died of mouth cancer. Yeah. Too many did it. I go, that's not enough.
I know Rod Carew had it. He had it, but they cured him.
He beat it?
He beat it. I think his face is normal, too.
Did you have a spittoon, BMN?
Yeah, I had spittoon cups.
How'd you handle it?
Cups, spittoons, everything.
I knew a kid that he used to dip on the job site, and he'd wear like a flannel shirt with pockets in it. And fucking, if we were in like a nice house, he would fucking just sit there and dip spit in his pocket.
Wow.
Ultimate stuff. Or if he was wearing the hooded sweatshirt, he would open the side pouch and dip spit in the side pouch.
We went to an Outlaws Marshall Tucker concert in Worcester. Like,
Marshall Tucker! Fucking awesome.
Charlie Daniels, too, a couple years out of college.
Love that shit.
It was like me and my college buddies was like fucking 4 muscle heads in front of us. They were like looking at us and stuff. You know, we were fucking all chewing. They had hoods on their, you know, like hooded sweatshirts or whatever. We just reaching over and spitting in their hoods the whole night.
I like that.
Yeah. The whole night we're just spitting in their hoods.
That reminded me, I was such a fucking juvenile delinquent on Broadway Somerville. There was Walnut Drug, a good old-fashioned giant drugstore with the counter and the stools. People actually wore hats back then, like the guys.
Nice.
Fedoras.
We would get... We'd pick on these older guys and put like a lit cigar on top of their hat. And get them sit back and watch his fucking head smoldering. I swear to God. Probably did that 5 or 6 times. So fucking bad. Huh? God, if you're listening, I'm really sorry. I'm sorry. I really legitimately am. I didn't know. I was a prankster.
I know. We used to do shit to old people, too.
Isn't that terrible?
Right, the place right down the street, the old age complex, we'd get a barrel bomb. Tape it to a window, get the cigarette, do a time release cigarette.
Ooh.
Tape it and put the wick halfway through the cigarette.
Now that's elderly abuse.
Yeah.
Right?
Organized mischief.
Right.
We staged like a fake murder in front of an old guy down at Bickford's.
Yeah, we used to do that
down
shit.
The street.
That's awesome.
You know?
Guy drops dead of
this
a
guy
fucking
was like
heart
a,
attack.
We used to call him Mr. McGillicuddy, but he was like a fucking everyone's business. So he stays like a fake murder. We ordered these guns, fake guns online. Yeah. I'm like 14. We ordered fake. We did a fake murder. My buddy fucking like ketchup exploded in his face and fucking the guy McKillick got took off.
Fucking
yeah.
nuts.
Yeah. yeah.
That's why if you're an old prick, you can't be grouchy because you're more apt to get picked on because they know what bothers you. Oh, yeah. You're easy to rile up. Let's go fuck with Mr. fucking Riley.
Yeah.
He gets mad so easy. We'll torture him.
We'll right? put a shit bag on his front porch. Yeah. It'll be great.
Listen, here's what I say. If I get older, I get, and if you can fuck with me like that, you're going to pass. I get it. Do it.
Yeah.
If you can do it and get away with it and I accept it, then it's even.
Yeah.
Like if somebody like blanketed your fucking sycamore tree out front with fucking toilet paper, would you take it off with just kind of like the
stay there for fucking eternity?
Would you take it off with just kind of like the pride of like the changing of the guard, kind of like you were there fucking doing the same thing and it's like you're paying it forward?
Yeah. As long as they don't fucking spray paint my house.
Oh yeah.
I don't give a fuck what they do.
Yeah.
Pretty sleepy up there where you are, right?
Yeah.
No punks around or anything.
Although I found a diaper on the side of the road.
Sick.
I
just
fucking stared at it for fucking 3 days. It's still there, right near my house.
Maybe it was one of the adult ones from the place in New Hampshire.
Some fucking animal.
It's on my territory. I have territorial jurisdiction over it. I go, how'd this fucking get here?
Some animal from fucking one of the cities up there was changed the diaper and just threw out the window.
And we're on a cul-de-sac kind of road.
Oh.
There's no passer-throughs.
Whoa.
Nobody joyrides through. I mean, maybe occasional person gets lost.
Really?
So
well, was it child or adult?
It was child.
Yeah. Okay.
Now,
it doesn't shit in it, I wonder?
No, I didn't even look deeply into it, but there it was. I go, either this was tossed, it blew in the wind, it fell out of the I don't like it. Mm. There's no reason that's good for me. I feel it's fucking sabotage.
You miss the diaper days where you always had fucking wet, dirty diapers around on the road and stuff?
Those were fucking horrible.
Right?
Yeah. Fucking diapers.
Tough life.
Hotline. Be a man hotline.
Yes. 24/7.
Leave a voicemail or send us a text.
Hotline.
Call anytime.
617-329-9505.
Call 24/7 with your sick fucking stories. We love it.
All right, we have a question here on the Be a Man hotline from, I think his name is Thomas. He called the last time we took calls, and he's always leaving messages and always coming up with questions and conundrums.
Yo, Be a Man, Tomzo, John, what's up? Hope you guys are doing good. I got a question for you here. Maybe you guys can weigh in on. Why is it that when you're single, no girl will even give you the time of day? But the second you get in a relationship, it's like they can smell the clam juice dripping all over your stuff because they start throwing themselves at you like crazy. John, maybe you can explain, is there like a scientific reasoning behind this or what's going on? Help me out here. And what's the best way to approach this? Be a man.
Well, that's true. They get a scent of that clam juice. It's proven through history.
They get all antsy.
They all
and
hate each other. Women hate each other.
They do.
They're all cats.
Yeah, and it's like the pheromones. Yeah. They can smell other cats, and they get territorial. Yeah.
Absolutely, 100%. He'd have to use anti-clam cologne. I may devise something. Say you're with another broad, you want to fucking hide it from the other broad, you have this spray. It kills all fucking clam scent.
Can we please call it Dr. Fury's clam cologne?
NC cologne. NC cologne. No cunt. Yeah.
I'll be on the fucking bottle with a white coat pointing.
Dr. Fury's clam cologne. Unreal.
Yeah, you gotta always like them products when it's Dr. Whoever.
Yeah.
Dr. Teal's Epsom salt bath.
Must
go,
be
oh,
real.
Wow. A fucking, you know what doctor invented this one?
Yeah. Dr. Smith's cough drops.
I mean, seriously, did Dr. Pepper have his fucking medical degree?
Right.
What about Mr. Pibb? It's just as good, and he didn't have to go to school.
Yeah, you got to get rid of that clam juice. You can't have any scent of it at all.
Yep, you have to fucking burn clothes.
They're feisty characters.
You have to wash your hands in the sink, then go outside and rub them in dirt. Back and forth, then go back in and wash them again, and maybe the scent will be gone.
Yep, yeah, and you have to jerk off with hand sanitizer. That's the only way to get the fucking clam juice totally off of the undercarriage.
Well, it's not just the smell. I mean, if a bride sees you with a girl.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, if it's a bride you never went out with, she comes over and sizes up the other girl. You see him looking up and down.
Right? Yeah.
Head to toe, they size them up.
See, you captured my man.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're doing clam math.
You go steal my man from me with that clam juice. Clamato.
Be a man. Experience.
There you have it, little campers. I would tell you real men take chances, but you already knew that, didn't you? That's because taking chances is a part of our DNA. Safe bets are for broads and losers. Always let it ride. Be a man.
I hope you enjoyed the
Be a Man Experience.
Thank you for listening to Believe. You can show support to your host by subscribing to the show and giving us a 5-star rating on your preferred platform. Check us out at Believe.com and search for BLEAV on YouTube.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel.
And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.